All right, I keep promising phone calls. Real quick, what is your question, John?
Trying to remember what I was going to ask you.
Something about Harris.
Scott Harris. I don't know, come back to me.
All right, we'll go to the phones.
It's been a long time since we talked.
I know, it's been a whole 2 minutes. Joe in Madison Heights, your thoughts on the deadline. Wake up with us.
Hey, Jim and John, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I'm going to try to talk Jim off that ledge just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, you have the best pitching coach in the game.
Yes.
And he could make Morton, who's a solid three. He's a solid three.
On what planet?
He could make Morton a little bit. What do you think? He's a solid three.
Joe, his ERA is over five. He puts 1.5 batters on per inning. What are we talking about? He's a five. He's 41 years old.
Yeah, I know he's a five, but he can be fixed. I'm not saying it's not a great trade deadline.
This is the guy trying to sell me.
Yeah, well, okay. Okay, let's go Fiddly in the back end of the bullpen, right?
Yeah, Finnegan, yeah. I like him. Yeah, he's fine. He's a real arm they added. He's the only real arm that they upgraded with.
Right, yeah. I mean, mix and match. But the Tigers mix and match anyway. You know, they're looking for matchups a little bit. So
Yes, they are.
Out of those four players, can you get maybe two good ones? Yeah. Now, as far as the Suarez thing, my brother's probably listening, and he'll say I'm talking out both sides of my mouth. I wanted Suarez. As a matter of fact, if they had gotten Suarez, they were going to come out of the American League, because all of a sudden Seattle adds, what is it, 70 home runs, Jim, between the two?
Yeah,
the
big give or take, yes.
Yeah, that's tough, man. But I think our pitching overall is a little bit better.
Right, but Joe, it's in context, right? So the Yankees have a better 1-2 punch than us, right? They have Fried and Rodon. Yeah. Their bullpen was a big issue. What did they do? Like, we've talked about how the Tiger bullpen has people uneasy about the postseason. We add Finnegan and friends, a collection of maybes and ifs. The Yankees go out and add Bednar, and they didn't stop there. They also went out and got Duvall from the Giants, who's their leverage guy. And then they went out and got Jake Bird from the Rockies, all under team control, all without mortgaging the future. Why is Cashman able to do it, but Harris isn't? Because that's one of your chief adversaries now for the playoffs. Right. They went and did the thing that I'm being told wasn't possible by Scott Harris.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up about Cashman, about some of these other general managers. And, you know, and I agree with you. I think they got a little bit better. Did they get good enough to win a World Series? We won't know until they play the World Series.
But your belief today is no.
There are other teams that got better. More
better.
Right, yes. They got better on a larger scale than the Tigers did.
More betterer.
Yeah. But the question I was going to ask, and I apologize for not coming through on this tease, but it kind of worked out. Is this another strike from you on Scott Harris? Are you ready to go ahead and be the pitcher that they needed? And Riley Green's at the plate. You're up. You throw it. Is it another strike on Scott Harris?
So just to revisit the bit, he had two. We took one away on appeal down to first base.
Yes.
He
Check
only
swing.
Has one strike right now. I'd feel silly putting two strikes on a guy saying he's managing for his job at this point.
Because they are a team that has tied for the most wins in all of baseball, not just the American League.
Look, I mean, if they squander Scooble the next two seasons because this is how he wants to conduct business, he absolutely deserves a strike. I'm not handing it to him today. But I think we can't have a conversation about how he failed this deadline, about how this is a pathetic way to manage a baseball team in first place. We're allowed to be critical without calling for someone's job. It doesn't always have to turn to the extreme.
And I will say this. They are a team, prior to the trade deadline, that had as many wins as anybody else in baseball. But the caveat to that is they're playing in a bad division. They're also playing in the American League, which is not as strong. They don't play as many minor league teams, as many National League teams as they are going to American League teams.
Yeah, so, and they're going to play a couple minor league teams when Minnesota comes to town this month.
Well, yes, it's so bizarre.
St. Paul Saints coming up. Alex in Ann Arbor, good morning.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
What's up?
So, a couple things. I think the first thing is Scott Harris is under no pressure to make a big swing just because of the success, and they're ahead of schedule, I would argue. And then two, they're setting up pitching chaos with all these arms. And then three, it's the end of the day before the deadline. I felt the same way as I do now. And they're going to go as far as Scooble takes them. If he wins both his starts in a 7-game series, I still feel confident. If he loses one of them, then they're going to lose that series.
I mean, you might be right to distill it all the way down to that. I mean, look, if they can get one of the top two spots in the AL postseason, they avoid a 3-game series. Because otherwise, it doesn't matter if you have Scooble, you could still get bopped early.
Well, especially if he only goes 95 pitches. Oh, I mean, and he's out in the, you know, only goes 6 innings. Yeah. Max?
Can I ask you guys a question? So, what do you think the best contributor this year to the Tigers having one of the best records in baseball?
Scooble.
But no, no. But who are you most concerned about? Like, what do you think the flaw is? What's the weakness? Is it Baez? Is it?
I mean, McKinstry's got a 900 OPS against lefties. I'm having a hard time believing that's going to translate against lefty specialists in the postseason.
I would have told you yesterday, and I'll tell you again today. It's still Tommy Cainley.
That's a great one.
And did they address Tommy Cainley yesterday? Did they?
Finnegan probably slides.
So they protected themselves in case Cainley stays this way.
Because, again, he's serving up batting practice lately.
Yeah, July, I mean, his ERA is horrendous.
But our belief was, like, this bullpen needed high-leverage guys. Like, Finnegan's not an A-plus swing-and-miss guy. He's fine. He's a major league-quality arm to add to this bullpen. It's just in the context of the Yankees adding three.
Right.
Right? The Phillies adding best.
And they added Melton to the bullpen. And I know it wasn't a trade. It wasn't, they weren't bringing anybody in. And he's also only had two starts. Yeah. Like, it's still to be determined how effective and how good he'll be game in, game out.
Well, the universal flaw by national people who cover this team and look at it and leading the deadline was the bullpen didn't strike people out enough.
Yep.
Did they address that yesterday?
People tell you Seawald gets swing and miss. He's not healthy. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like it really, I feel like there are people reaching to defend this. Don't defend the indefensible, guys. Let's hope they win in spite of this deadline. I'm not rooting against this team. I'm just calling it as I see it. Gary and Trenton, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. The one common denominator that's going on here, at the Red Wing trade deadline, we were all talking about the same thing, how Steve Yzerman didn't want to go out and purchase talent, okay? We were nickel and diming our defense or our forwards. It's the same thing happening here with the Tigers at the deadline. I sat and watched the MLB Network yesterday all day, and even the former general manager, Rick Hahn, he was befuddled why the Tigers weren't at least going to pick out one blowout strikeout guy, period. Okay, and that just shocked me. John Heyman said the same thing. John Paul Morosi, your cohort, he was saying the same thing. You're like, well, that's just how the Tigers are going to do things. But what's the one common denominator? Yzerman's a GM, Harris is a GM, and they both fall under which regime? The Ilitch holding regime. And they got their own carbon copy of how they want to run both teams at the same time for the lack of monies.
Hold on, Gary. It's not about monies at the trade deadline. If you went out and got Suarez, he's going to cost you $5 million for the next 2 months. It's not about monies. It was Steve Yzerman not wanting to part ways with draft picks. It's Scott Harris not wanting to part ways with prospects. That, to me, is not – yeah, they're not willing to spend the capital that they've built up in their farm systems, but it's not the ownership saying – we don't want to pay these guys.
Yeah, Gary, it doesn't cost much to give up the number 8 prospect or 9 prospect in your farm system, right? Like, again, Chris Ilitch has certainly earned a lot of ire from fans, and I think people are connecting dots that don't need to be connected here. These are two independent people managing their teams ultra-conservatively.
Yeah, and now it can come down to leadership in terms of
hey
Scott Harris,
guys, yes.
I want you to go make
a
big deal. Like, that, I could support that argument, but not what we don't want to pay these guys. Well, you're only paying them for the next 2 months, three months.
That's the best point, is that he could step up and say, hey, guys.
Yeah, let's stop treading water and let's go for it.
And the Tigers aren't treading water. They're two different situations. That's the other thing. I don't like lumping them in together. Yzerman's, how many years into this now? 7-8 years? Mm-hmm. Harris has had loads more success.
This is his third trade deadline, and he has had, he's been here for 3 years. He's going to be in the playoffs for 2 of the 3 years.
Jim in Walled Lake, you're on 97.1.
Good morning. Hey, after next year, Scooble's a free agent, correct?
Yes.
And if he walks, which I think he's going to, he's going to go to another team. The Tigers get anything in return?
What they'll do is they would offer him a qualifying offer, which he would not accept because it'd be a one-year deal for $20 to $25 million. Once he signed somewhere else, we'd be given a competitive balance pick, which would be at the end of the first round.
So it's just like nothing, really.
Yeah, I mean, they got McGonagall there, but yes, I mean, that's the exception, not the rule.
I realize this is out of the box here, but what do you guys think of putting a package together, including him, and getting 2-3 big-name players?
You're saying in the offseason now because the deadline's passed?
Yeah. In between the end of this year and next year, or the beginning of next year, putting a package together and getting like 2 or 3 big-name players.
It's a real tough spot. Like, how close do they come this year, right? Like, they make the World Series and lose. Giving us one more shot with Skubal. They get bounced in the ALDS, and this is the way Scott Harris wants to run the team, where they're not going to be aggressive going into his final year. Absolutely, you trade him.
Yeah, but those are conversations for this offseason. Those are conversations for next year. It's, the trade deadline is passed, and you have Skubal right now, so I suggest you win with Skubal. I also suggest that you use him. That's why, when we get the arguments of, if you can win twice with Skubal in the postseason, well, how do you do that? If he's only going to get you to the sixth inning, now you've got to rely on your bullpen.
You know what the example would be? Madison Bumgarner. If you get to the playoffs and you are not in a position where you feel like you're going to hand Skubal a long-term commitment, you throw him in game 1, you throw him in game 5, and guess who's available in the pen for game 7?
Yeah.
Derek Skubal.
Exactly.
If his arm falls off, somebody else's problem. We're chasing a championship.
Use him while you have him.
We said we have a bunch of audio from Scott Harris. Greg has taken the time to curate that. We're going to play a bunch of it next, let you hear from the man and kind of his breakdown of what happened at the deadline. It's 97.1.
In sports, when you're sidelined by an injury, it's personal. And the same goes for life. That's where personal injury attorney David Femininio steps in. And trust me, after an accident, you're going to need an attorney who makes it personal. That someone is David Femininio. His slogan is "Get David, get paid." Well, to him, it's not just a slogan. It's his promise to take care of you. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Scott Harris, play a bunch of audio from him after the deadline. Do the Tigers have a bunch of really good right-handed bats?
They have some bats that have performed.
Sure. Okay.
Don't necessarily be right-handed bats, but...
Just real quick, because I know I want to get to all this. I don't want to get off on a tangent. Suarez OPS would be the best on the team. He hits more home runs with less strikeouts than Riley Green. You could say you don't need him, but he makes you better. There's a lot of impact guys that were dealt yesterday, including a bunch of relievers who make you better.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we get Finnegan and friends. But anyway, Scott Harris talking about this deadline and the market itself. The prices were too high. So David Bednar is a guy that we talked about. He wasn't a rental. He offered you control more than one season. He went for the number 8 prospect in the Yankee system, 8 and 14. John, does that sound like it was too high for control of a swing and miss reliever?
No.
Okay.
No, it's something that I would have considered and looked at a little. And we don't know how much the Tigers looked at that they were willing or not willing to part with. Apparently, the only thing we have to go off of right now is they weren't willing to part with any of it.
Well, and that's, again, a rival executive said they didn't want to give up anything of substance, anything of value, I think was the quote. The Giants, one of Harris's former teams, traded their closer to the Yankees for even less than Bednar. He's under team control as well. The prices were too high. No, Scott, we saw the prices. Like, it's like you're in the grocery store and I see the prices. I see what they went for. He also talked about why they didn't make, in his words, maybe he was asked about flashy moves. Two more that I want to play. One that we've already referenced, the idea of should you have gone all in during the Skubal window. He spoke about that. No, it's your job to win a World Series. Now, you manage the deadline like someone whose job is simply to just make the playoffs. He also talked about trades they didn't make. Haunting moves if they would have made them. That sounds like a guy who's fallen in love with his prospect pool. Like, you can have one or two guys you're like, hey, I'm not trading Clark or McGonagall, right? Like, when you go, I won't give up anybody in my top 10, that's falling in love with your prospects.
Well, I'm curious as to who he was talking about that would be guys that would help at the end of this year.
Melton, like, is probably maybe one of those guys.
Maybe Melton was talked about, and maybe somebody inquired about Parker Meadows. Maybe he's thinking he's going to be an impact at the end of this year, because it hasn't been to this point.
I think it would haunt you for years if you don't win a World Series with Tarek Skubal. That's just me. This is a fun question, John, before we get to Heather's news. Texter says that they think Scott Harris is smarmier than me. They hear like a very like snooty, intellectual, smartest guy in the room vibe from him. So I don't know if you agree, but we could make the smarm alarm multi-purpose. You can think on it.
Yeah, let me think about that for a little bit. I mean, he does have some smarm qualities.
Okay, let's get to Heather with the news.
So Pokemon cards are the hottest new target for thieves in Metro Detroit. And on Wednesday, a family-owned card shop in Sterling Heights was broken into with more than $50,000 worth of Pokemon cards stolen. So the owner of First Edition Finds received an alert on his phone that a window had been broken at the shop.
Yeah.
Checked it out, saw actively on the security camera a thief in there smashing display cases, obviously called the cops right away. This guy was wearing a mask, stealing. The owner says he knew, this thief knew exactly what he was doing, right? Went to the most expensive items in the store, stole these Pokemon cards, and left. The owner, if I read this right, is offering a $15,000 cash reward for info leading to the identification of this suspect. That's a lot of money.
They're going to be valuable cards, though.
Yeah, I mean, say, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
So I was like, 15,000, five? No, it's the article, unless it was a typo.
Yeah.
15 grand is a lot of money.
Did they say what the total value was that
over
the guy 50, swiped?
50,000.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
God, but he's not even asking to get the cards back. He's just asking for somebody to identify the thief. I mean, the cards could be damaged. They were in mint condition.
Right.
I mean,
damaged. It could be getting, sold off by now.
Yeah. He might not even get those cards back, and he's still offering that much in cash. If you're a left lane squatter, you can now be fined. So left lane squatters are the people who just cruise along in the left lane on the freeway rather than, you know, going back after you pass someone, the slower vehicle. So you could be ticketed according to Michigan law. So there's some attorneys at the Michigan auto law firm that say driving slow in the left lane can be quite dangerous.
What is the definition of slow?
They don't give a speed.
Because
but
I think we all want them to go.
The flow of traffic,
yeah,
I guess
not at
I would say.
The what traffic is traveling.
Yes. Well, I think it's a hairy situation is I think we all establish if you're in the left lane, you're going more than the speed limit, right?
Yeah, generally, yeah.
Usually, so if I'm in the left lane, but if you're going the speed limit in the left lane, you're going too slow.
Yes, that's what they're saying.
You're
going to take
me for going the speed
limit.
Because
if it's used for passing, you have to go, usually, I would say, not always, but you have to go over the speed limit to pass at least. So, yeah.
So you tell the officer, I'm sorry, I wasn't speeding. You should give me a ticket.
No, what the premise is if, say, the speed limit is 70, and you come up on somebody that's going 65, you can get over to pass them.
Yeah.
You don't have to go faster than the speed limit, but if you stay in that left lane after you pass the slower driver, that's where you get the ticket.
Yes. Let me finish here. So it basically says that if you are traveling on a freeway that is two lanes only.
Right.
That's where you're really going to run into the problem. You cannot be in that left lane just driving in it. That lane is literally only for passing. If you are on a freeway with three or more lanes of traffic in the same direction, the left lane may be used for travel. But they still say you should not be slowing down the traffic, which could lead to a dangerous situation. So it does depend on which highway you're on. But basically, they say misuse of the left lane is a civil infraction. So start using it properly.
I mean, you could be traveling up north and just, you know, cruise control set at 70, but you're traveling in the left lane. No one else around you. In theory, you could be pulled over at that point because you're not supposed to be traveling in that lane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just Heads up for all those people traveling up north.
Yep.
Finally, Justin Timberlake has been slammed online for some of his recent performances at some of his concerts during his Forget Tomorrow world tour. Like, fans are really disappointed. They want their money back. They say it's lackluster. He's being lazy. Just totally disappointed. Well, yesterday he revealed that he's been battling some health issues. He was diagnosed with Lyme disease. So he made a heartfelt post on social media. It's long, but he said living with this can be relentlessly debilitating, both mentally and physically. And he said that when I first got the diagnosis, I was shocked for sure, but at least I could understand why I would be on stage in a massive amount of nerve pain or just feeling crazy fatigue or sickness. And he added that he doesn't want to stop touring because of the joy he gets from performing, but
or the money he gets.
Sure.
It doesn't hurt.
But if people are disappointed by your performance, maybe let's work on your health first.
Priorities.
Take care of yourself. Yeah.
Heather with the news. Cookie jar is next. I don't know, ranting and raving and bitching and complaining. We'll have some fun. Cookie jar, 97.1. It's the Cookie Jar. It's brought to you by Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. In honor of Happy Gilmore 2, which movie most needs a sequel?
So I was going back. A lot of them have had sequels. They've had spinoffs, and I don't count necessarily spinoffs as sequels, but you know, some could argue that. The one that I would love to have a sequel to, The Dude. The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Got to have a sequel to that. The Dude Abides.
This is such a hard question because a lot of the movies I like, I don't want them to be ruined by a bad sequel. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but sometimes if it's a bad sequel, it just makes the original even better.
I don't know. You can ruin a character pretty easily in a sequel. So it's, I think comedies are the best thing to have a sequel on because normally they're lighthearted, kind of silly. Maybe like a Bridesmaids.
Okay.
I like all the actresses in that movie. I thought it was funny. You could follow up with Annie and she could be the one getting married. I don't know. Yeah, low stakes. That's a good term.
Inception. I think there's more stories to have with that kind of shared dream technology. And I don't think you necessarily have to have all the main characters that you had from the last movie.
The original.
Leo and et cetera.
You have to have Leo. And I actually had Inception. I hate that we have the same one. But the spinning top at the end, there's the ambiguity. And you're right. There's more meat on the bone there. I love the movie. The danger would be, to Heather's point, screwing it up. Tom?
Mine is Rounders 2.
Okay, well, you love Rounders.
Yeah.
Norton and Damon again. That'd be awesome. Is Worm really alive? Do we know that? I forgot.
I'm not sure. Lions players were asked this week, who is your go-to Mario Kart character?
Okay. I didn't see any of the answers.
So,
but
I think it was Dan Campbell said Luigi was his answer. Oh, some of these guys nerded out with the new Mario Karts. For the classics, Yoshi was my guy.
Okay. I mean, I'd have to go with Donkey Kong.
Okay.
Princess Peach, of course.
Princess Peach.
Toaches.
Mine was always Yoshi. Although one of the newer ones is a Cat Peach. Would you do that, Jim?
The Cat Peach?
Of course he would.
Sure.
There's like 42 characters.
It's too much now. Now I sound old, like the original eight. And then I played Double Dash, which was the next one. But
I never played them.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, I saw the movie because Mario, because Teddy likes it, but
August as a month. Hey, it's August now, guys. What's it best known for?
Double days. Two-a-days. Football. Practice is in session, and it's hot. It's muggy. You got a headache. August is all about high school football. We saw football last night. It's all about the double days. Now, I know that there's not a lot of two-a-days left anymore, but that's always, when I think August, I'm thinking that's the start of football and it's two-a-days.
Sounds awesome.
We had two-a-days when I was in high school, so I do get kind of teleported back to the hot football. Yeah. To me, football camp is what August is all about. Yeah.
To me, it's just back to school.
Back to school, even though most kids don't go back to school until September.
Yeah, but people are going back to college. You're getting ready. You're some schools do start before
school supplies
September.
Are
yeah,
all,
it's just
you know,
going back to school month. Yeah.
Summer's last hurrah. get all your vacations in, your last whatever of the summer before school, football, and fall starts.
Now, you guys had a lot of good ones and stuff, but I just found this out this morning. It's actually National Hair Loss Awareness Month. So that's number
one. Card-carrying member.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do for National Hair Loss Awareness Month? Are we all supposed to shave our heads?
Yes. No. It's about people, how to deal with hair loss and all that stuff.
How do you deal with it, Tom?
I shave it. I just like
when
shave
did it,
it
start
off.
For you? Like, were you always?
I gave
bald?
Up about 33 or so.
Okay.
Oh, you're a year away.
I don't like hearing
you're
that.
Fine for a while.
I don't like hearing
I
that.
I had nothing like you at 33.
Are there more wheels or doors in the world?
I don't even think it's close. I think it's doors. When you think of all of the, not just the houses in this world, because you know a lot of houses come with cars and multiple cars. But it is the skyscrapers. It's all the doors that are in these massive buildings that we have built.
It has to be doors. I think you're right, John. Like, at first I was like, well, there's a lot of wheels, but then every car has four doors, too.
Cancels out the wheels.
Does your car have four doors or is it just two?
It has four, John.
Oh, not every car has four doors. Yeah. There's some two doors. But then I thought, okay, well, then there's like wheelbarrows and dollies and things like that that don't have doors that have wheels. But then you have the skyscrapers that have all those doors. It has to be doors.
What about 18-wheelers? How do they factor
into
this?
They add up.
They
But
they're not as big as a skyscraper filled with doors.
Greg, you're a math guy. Have you crunched the numbers?
Yeah, the skyscrapers really swing this in favor of doors.
Yeah. Doors.
It is doors. I went with doors as well. Which chain restaurant are actually good?
So are we going with like
not
just
fast food?
Okay, not fast food. Fleming's.
Okay.
Fleming's is, every time I go there, I get a perfect steak. They've got great sides, great apps, great desserts. I have never walked out of there going, boy, I wish I hadn't come here tonight. It is just perfect.
Okay. I eat if it's not fast food, maybe a pizza, Crispelli's. Their pizza.
It's a chain, sure.
It's a chain. There's multiple.
Yeah,
I like their pizza.
Okay,
I'm not a huge.
I'm never disappointed. I know you don't like it, but I always. My wife likes that. The thin crust.
So I don't know if this place is actually around anywhere, but Max and Irma's had underrated great burgers. My friend used to work there when he was in college. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would say Applebee's is pretty solid. I go over there for the buffalo wings.
Yeah, throwing good
restaurants
prices.
That are war changed that are maybe no longer in existence. Are there any Bennigan's anymore?
There was one in Mount Pleasant that was like the spot. I don't know if it's still around.
I love going to Bennigan's.
There's no Max and Irma's anymore, is there? Like, that disappeared a long time ago.
The last one I remembered was by our old building, 14 and Orchard Lake.
I think they're all gone, but it was good.
So, shout out to the Texas Roadhouse in Taylor. Never had a bad meal there. Seriously. They manage it great, and chains can be different depending on which one you go to. That's our go-to, although, in honor of yesterday and the deadline, I could either go with Morton Steakhouse or Finnegan's Irish Pub. Now, Finnegan's isn't actually a chain. There's a bunch of them around
the
country, but they're not chains. But Morton Steakhouse is a chain.
Yes, it is. And it's very good.
Yes.
Yes.
Hopefully it's good here.
Maybe the original chain steakhouse, because you got Ruth's Chris now. Yep. You got Morton's. But yeah, Fleming's is.
There's a lot of steakhouses. Outback.
You know, when we do the schedule reveal and we do the win-loss, all that stuff, and we look, okay, where are they at? I used to, when the schedule would come out for the NFL when I was playing, I used to look and say, okay, which cities have a Fleming's, and then I would look and be like, okay, I can't wait for that week.
I went with Buffalo Wild Wings. Feel like it's my go-to spot for wings. You're giving me just an eh?
Nah, it's
I'm a spicy garlic guy.
It's
that's right.
They're the wings, to me, they're too expensive. You get
well,
10 wings.
That's not unique to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, but I don't know. You can go some other places.
Some of this
more
is
affordable.
Like, that was always the place we went to with my high school friends.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. I mean, now we spend, like, game days are there. Like, I just associate it so closely with football and friends. And
well, if you're a dink, I guess it doesn't matter how much the wings cost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Last one, real quick. Would you rather watch a 3-hour movie or 3 1-hour episodes of a show?
I have really enjoyed some of these like one season, one-offs episodes where you have, you know, multiple episodes and it's movie-esque, but I would prefer the 3 1-hour episodes because I can't watch a 3-hour movie.
It's a long time.
And I was going to have to break it up into, in essence, 1-hour episodes if I could even get an hour in.
And you feel like once you start the 1-hour episodes, you feel like you can always stop?
I can always, yeah, you can always stop, but you can always, you know, finish and be like, okay, well, there's only like 15 minutes left. I can finish that.
How many episodes are in the series you're watching? See, I'd rather see the beginning, middle, and end all at once.
So the movie then.
I like watching a series, but you can stop a movie and take a break. You can do this. You can watch a movie the same way
you don't
watch
feel like you can.
Well, no, I mean, I always feel like I can. I can do anything I want.
I fall asleep every time I watch a movie. So.
Right. Have you finished Happy Gilmore yet?
I have not.
Okay. Yes.
Movie. I want to see the entirety of the story, whereas it's 3 hours of what could be much longer.
The reason I like the episodes, especially if it's like a 10-part series, is they dive deeper into the characters. They develop the characters more.
But I wouldn't want to stop at 3. I'd want to keep going.
Yeah.
I find it that shows don't deliver a lot of times, or you'll have moments, but then they stretch things out.
Oh, I prefer the shows.
Versus a 3-hour movie for me. If
I haven't seen a movie in the last year better than Severance as a TV show.
Oh, no, me neither.
So would you count Oppenheimer?
It's a really good movie. It was more than a year ago, though.
Technically, it is, you bastard. By like 2 weeks.
And that is the cookie jar. It's 97.1. Reactions to the cookie jar, and then right back into the Tiger deadline talk. Did they do enough? Finnegan and friends. You look around the league, what the other contenders did. Was it enough? Some love for chain restaurants on the ticket text.
Okay.
Max and Irma's is in the Detroit McNamara Airport.
I'm having a conversation with somebody about that right now. We're reminiscing on their tortilla soup.
And really?
Black bean roll-ups. I used to love Max and Irma's.
But if there's only one, it's not a chain.
Are they in other states?
Well, it used to be a chain.
I don't know. Google it.
Let me know what ChatGPT says. Yeah. Which, by the way, someone did that with the wheels and doors question. And they say ChatGPT says wheels, suitcases, toys, furniture in the office, vehicles, Matt and Heartland.
I see like the chairs we're sitting on each have what, 6 wheels or 5?
5.
But there's so many doors. And even toys have doors.
Right. And it's like, I mean, you think about just a hotel, right? You walk through the door. There's usually two doors that you have to walk through. Then there's elevator doors. Then there's a room door. There's a bathroom door.
There's a shower door.
And how many rooms in a hotel?
Even the mayor.
Yeah.
What?
Hotel everybody, even the mayor.
Yeah. This one says, for every skyscraper office with a door, there's an office chair with 5 wheels. Vote for wheels. It's tires. Do you know the biggest tire producer? It's Lego. Tons of wheels on their toys. Tires and wheels 100%.
That's true. But there are doors. Legos have doors too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not as many. I think we're wrong on this. And the Legos made me change my mind.
Yeah, maybe I didn't think through that one well enough, but I think it's gonna be tight no matter which way you
golf carts, no doors, 4 wheels. All the golf carts in the world add up.
Unless you get one that's street legal and you got those mini doors on the side.
You know, bikes, big wheels, tricycles.
Unicycles.
Yeah.
All adds up.
You have one of those, don't you? I could see.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. He's a unicycle guy. Guarantee you. The old neighborhood I used to live in had a couple of unicycle guys that would be rolling around.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We would have two of them running around our neighborhood.
What?
Now, one guy was, I think he was, how do I say, socially challenged.
Okay.
Because anytime he was on his unicycle and you would, like if I'd be going for a run, he would get off and like start going the other way, or he would make an abrupt turn.
I've never seen anyone on a unicycle besides at a show, a circus, or a performance.
Our neighborhood, we had at least 2 unicyclists.
I picture like clown music in my head when think of somebody on a unicycle.
Yeah. Halftime of a basketball game. Get well, Red Panda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Arthur in Grosse Pointe, you're on 97.1.
Hey, so with the wheels versus doors things, it's definitely wheels when you think shopping carts too. I mean, there's way more stores than hotels, and each store has like thousands of wheels.
Yeah.
But real quick, with the trade thing, I wanted to bring up, how come Detroit can't get a blockbuster trade? I mean, the Lions, the Tigers, the Red Wings, the Pistons, we're all every day I listen to the radio, and every day it's a different sport team, and we're like, oh, hopefully we get this guy, and it never, ever gets done. And you know what? I was thinking about an analogy while I'm driving is, you know, developing your players, it's kind of like studying for an exam. You slowly get better. You slowly understand it more. Getting a blockbuster trade, it's like trading $20 for a cheap sheet.
Careful, Arthur. They're going to call you a whiner if you keep talking that way.
I'm just saying, it's like time to get it done. Someone, please. That's all we want.
I'm there with you, and for different reasons, right? Like, I think the Pistons have the biggest cushion right now, the best excuse to not be bold and aggressive. They're like a year into this. For the Wings, they need one of those defibrillators to just shock the system and get relevant. And in the case of the Lions and the Tigers, they're chasing championships.
Right, but it's a little bit different. And I know we haven't had blockbuster trades. What was the last blockbuster trade that they had here?
Our teams?
Yeah, would it be Miggy? I mean, bringing a player in.
Oh, it'd be before Miggy.
I mean, the Scherzer-Granderson trade was a humongous trade.
David Price on the deadline day in 2014. Anything since? Like Blake Griffin and the Pistons?
Oh, I wouldn't.
That was a pretty big deal.
It was a big deal, but you weren't getting a guy that was going to change the destination of your team.
Yeah.
Well, I think they won like five in a row right out of the deadline. There were some people that were on that. They got in the playoffs. They got swept by the Bucks.
Right.
It's probably David Price. Am I missing somebody? Was there a Red Wing deadline deal? No, because they stopped making...
Mrazek?
David Legwand?
But in baseball, I think it's a little bit different. And when you are trading expiring contracts, it's not. But it's harder to do in football because you have a salary cap and you got to fit whoever that blockbuster guy is under that salary cap of that year.
So coming off this deadline, I've had this overwhelming thing kind of hitting me this morning. So now I'll say it. We're tournament city. It's getting the tournament city. It's stealing a line from Dan Campbell. Just getting the tournament. That's what Scott Harris said yesterday. My job is to get in the playoffs.
Right, which didn't land well with people. They acted like their job was simply to get in the playoffs. You want to win the World Series. That's the job. It's to build the best team in the sport, to be the last team standing, to win it all.
I feel like when we're going into this Lions season, I think we're all a little bit more cautious than we were last year because of some of the losses that they've had.
Would you feel different today? Sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, go ahead.
Would you feel different, Cookies, if he had added that phrase? My job is to get us into the postseason.
Because that gives us the best chance to win the World Series.
Win a World Series.
Yes, that would have, and he may think that. He didn't say that. And he also didn't act that way. Like, that's the biggest thing. If he had added an impact player, wasn't coveting every last prospect in the system, hoarding them in a way where he's fallen in love with guys who are 3-4 years away from even making an impact if they get here. When you act the way they did at the deadline, and then you say, my job is to make the playoffs, with no additional comment about winning a title, you are simply fueling the narrative that your goal, your job, is not to win a title, it's just to be in the postseason.
I've got the trade. The biggest last one was Stafford, thanks to Brian.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I don't know why we couldn't think of that one.
I think the reason we didn't think of it is it doesn't come across as like, hey, this is a win move, a buy move. That was a sell move. You traded the guy who would go on to quarterback a Super Bowl team for a project and picks.
Mm-hmm. But you got a QB on him.
Oh, it works. Yeah. You know what I mean?
First-round pick.
We all thought he was a throw-in, that we were just taking money when we got Goff.
Hey, to take on that contract to get two firsts. Well, not saying that today. But that's why it doesn't come to mind.
Right.
248-539-9797. Let's talk Tiger baseball. It's 97.1.